FHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump confirms he's authorized covert CIA operations in Venezuela. CBS's Weijia Jiang with more from the White House.
Asked if the CIA has authority to take Maduro out, President Trump said it would be ridiculous for him to answer that question, adding he believes Venezuela is, quote, feeling the heat.
Hamas has returned the remains of two more Israeli hostages, but says it will have difficulty finding the bodies of the 19 still missing. UN Ambassador Mike Waltz tells Fox,
there are still two Americans there, and we will do everything to get them out. There's an entire task force of senior American officials, senior American officers. Central Command has 200 troops there to help with this.
Greece is ready to keep people at their desks for a long time. CBS's Vicky Barker at the foreign desk.
The Greek parliament has just voted to allow some employers to demand 13-hour working days.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is requesting nearly $70 million from the state legislature to consider funding SNAP and food share services. Under the new federal budget, states are now responsible for covering 75% of the administrative costs for SNAP programs. The new budget also implemented work requirements to qualify for food stamps, adding additional paperwork for the agency to process. The funding would cover federal cuts to the program and hire more staffers to assist residents currently receiving SNAP benefits. Education Insider magazine recognizes Mid-State Technical College as Wisconsin's top technical college for 2025. The college serves an 8-county district through 4 cities, including Wisconsin Rapids. Dr. Shelley Mondek is the president of Mid-State. She said, quote, this acknowledgement reflects the shared dedication of our faculty, staff, and partners to serve students and strengthen our communities, end quote. Friday and Saturday is the annual ODC Haunted House in Wisconsin Rapids. Dreadmore Keep is the classic horror scary experience, and Dreadmore Cove is the kid-friendly experience. This community event is free and open to the public. It's all-inclusive and wheelchair accessible. That's October 17th and 18th from 6 to 9:30 p.m. This Saturday is Science by the River in Wisconsin Rapids. The event will take place on Saturday, October 18th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. along the Riverfront Trail. This celebration of science, nature, and community offers free, hands-on activities at over 15 discovery stations. The route follows the Riverfront Trail from Lyon Park to Ben Hansen Park. Families can explore the activities and meet local scientists, educators, and enthusiasts. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers and Dodgers in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, game 3 tonight with the Brewers and Dodgers in the NLCS after losing the first 2 games in Milwaukee. Do the Brewers have a chance to turn this thing around? Manager Pat Murphy.
You guys might have us counted out, and I understand that. 90% of the teams that have been in this situation don't win the series. But this team has been counted out a lot this year, and I think there's some fight left in them, and it'll be a little tougher path doing it on the road, but we swept the Dodgers early in the year on the road, and so at least there's some capability. I know the Dodgers weren't the same team then, but, you know, 10 times this year we've won 4 in a row, so that's also a possibility.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready for their season opener next Wednesday in Milwaukee. How do they look on defense?
I think we have to have a hell of a week, personally. I think we are average at best right now. I think we've taken a step back a little bit, and we'll get it right.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies today with a few showers around, mainly later in the afternoon, highs in the lower 60s. Scattered showers tonight, perhaps a rumble of thunder as well, lows in the lower 50s. On Friday, partly sunny and warm for mid-October, highs in the low to mid-70s. Right now, it's 51.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's to safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers and Buckeyes square off in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a very important case before the Supreme Court. Will they gut what remains of the Voting Rights Act? Jim Santel, our friend and colleague, joins us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, October 16th. We'll have Joe Zepecki coming up this hour, Chad Holmes as well from 98.9 WXCO. Parker Olson, of course, producing things in Madison Studio A2. And Chad has got some big news to report from 98.9 WXCO. You get a chance to infiltrate his little workspace today as they have a bit of an open house. Mr. Holmes, good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Yep. Going to open up those doors and let the folks come in and let them tell me what they think.
Uh-oh. Hey, you know what? You're still one up on Derek Van Orden for having a town hall and letting people come in and say what they think about what you do. I think you should be saluted for this.
Real quickly, I was online this morning and I was looking at one of the social media sites, and there was this story from the Washington Post. I don't know if it's a new story or an old story. It had a picture, a cartoon picture of Michael Stipe of the REM, you know?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the guy looks like the brother of Derek Van Orden. I would just encourage you to look at that picture. And it's like, Michael Stipe is the coolest guy around, and Derek Van Orden is Derek Van Orden.
Right.
And I thought, holy cow, that's Derek Van Orden. No, well, Michael Stipe.
You know, we all have doppelgangers out there, and Parker claims that he can be one, that his Halloween costume is going to be Pat Kreitlow. And I'm looking at you, Chad, and it wouldn't take much for you to be a Pat Kreitlow for Halloween either, although I don't know why we would scare the villagers that way. So, you know, Derek Van Orden could have a doppelganger too.
I'd get twice the candy at every door if I was Pat Kreitlow.
You would say, sure, that boy clearly has an appetite. Let's give him the king size bars. Yeah, exactly. So
I want to just mention this open house for folks out there, because I know that you got the big audience here. But between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. today, we'll open up the doors. We got some finger food, some food from the Mint Cafe, which is right down the road here in downtown Boston.
Like one of the Mint places
here. So we're going to give you some free food. We got beverages. We got WXCO swag. Come on in. And also, we'll let you come into our studios if you want to get in front of the microphones and have a little bit of fun. We'll record you up. And also, just basically love to have you come by, meet me, meet our new news reporter, Isabella Nieto, talk to our salesperson, Aaliyah Arroyo, my producer, Ian Welch. We're all going to be hanging out here. And if there's things that you like about what we're doing, we'd love to hear it. But also, if there's things that we could do better, we'd love to hear about it as well. So, and then to put the cherry on top of the big cake, Todd Albo will be doing his show live here from 2 to 4 this afternoon.
I know. I mean, he and I, you know, both took our shows to Wisconsin Rapids for the open house. And I unfortunately have a schedule conflict that I couldn't be out there this morning. I would have loved that very much. So I hope people come out. If nothing else, I think the big draw, I mean, you might think it's Todd Albaugh. It's going to be Ian. People have been hearing Ian on your show forever, and they finally get a chance to meet the producer behind the scenes.
That's exactly right. And we'll have people can sit right next to him, see what he does in that other room across the way.
You hear that, Parker? How'd you like it if people could come in the room and see what you do?
I was just worried about Todd Alba having a live audience right there in studio.
Well, he's
done. Well, the thing about it is our studio here is right on the street. We have the big windows right here on the street. So
you are right in the fishbowl here.
Yep. This feels very like morning show, like Good Morning America type thing with like the people lining up on the street watching.
Oh, you had that. You had that at you have that at the Green Bay station. You had that for a time at the Wausau station. It's nice to have the street level stuff. Todd Alba, of course, no stranger to live shows. He was at a theater in the Waukesha area yesterday for the premiere of that Packers movie with the Japanese tourists, which looks like it's going to be just a it's going to be a hoot. So yeah, there's all kinds of ways that civic media gets out into the community and. You know, you do it as well with all the live sports you do.
But please come. It'll make me look good because we have a few folks come in from corporate and it just looks so bad if nobody comes. And then, you know, they're just hanging out here. And it's like, you know, I bet you during your long career, Pat, I've done this in the past. Have you ever been at a remote that just dies? You have these 2-hour remotes, you know, you go to the local car dealership or somewhere and like nobody comes. And it's just, it's the longest 2 hours of your life. Well, we don't want to have that here today.
No, we don't. So head over there. Let me give you the address, 301 North 3rd Street. So if you've never been there, go see the radio station, 301 North 3rd Street in Wausau for the 98.9 WXCO open house today from 10 until 4. Speaking of these live remotes, I don't know. I think the statute of limitations has expired. I think I can tell this story now after 39 years. My first job out of college was at the old WAQE in Rice Lake, which is no longer there. It's been swallowed up by WJMC. But WAQE, I start there. Like the first weekend, I'm told to deliver something, maybe a piece of equipment or something, to a local electronics store for where they were doing a remote. And so, okay, I did. So I go there and they're doing this remote. And somebody says, "Hey, don't forget to enter our drawing for a VCR." And I'm dumb and young and like, okay. So I sign my name on the piece of paper and put it in the box. And sure enough, a couple of days later, I get this call from the store saying, "Hey, you won the VCR." And it was the VCR that we used for, you know, maybe almost 20 years after the fact. And it took the longest time for me to go, you know, I probably shouldn't have been able to win that being a station. Nobody at the station knew me. Nobody at the store knew me. And I was just like, free VCR. I like working for the station.
It's so good to be naive at times, isn't it?
I miss it. Sometimes there's many a time you look back at being naive about something and you just wince at your young stupidness. And then you get that every so often. You go, oh, it was so nice to be young and innocent before I got all old and cynical, you know?
Oh, it is. I tell you, I agree with that 100%.
You
don't want to know how the sausage is made.
Yes, exactly. But today,
life is that way.
Today you get a chance to do it and see how Chad's making sausage over there at WXCO. I did mention in a previous segment that I was going to ask you for an update on Wausau schools. We were talking about how in Hudson they've had to make the decision to close two schools. In Eau Claire, they're looking at maybe closing one or two schools. And I feel like it was about a year ago we were talking about Wausau and kind of a little bit of waffling actually on whether or what schools were going to close. What's the, did that actually finally happen or is that still just being talked about? What's the latest there?
It's actually a two stage story here because I think the original story that we talked about a couple of years ago was the school board actually voted to combine Wausau East and Wausau West high schools into Wausau High School, which it used to be back before 1971. And then shortly thereafter, they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go back and we're changing our vote. We're going to go back to Wausau East and Wausau West, which happened. And then it was like, you know, it was not the smoothest operation at the time. But then after that, they went and started studying the elementary schools. And they went through the process and they decided to shut down 4 elementary schools at the end of last school year. And they made the changes for this year. And in fact, earlier this week on Monday, I had the Wausau School Board President, Jim Boucher, join us. And I asked him about that, about how it's gone, because we're now more than a month into the new school year. And I said that I had not heard a lot of rumbling. Sometimes when those big changes occur, you'll hear those rumbles of discontent. And I said, well, basically, how has it gone? And he says, it's gone really well, that everybody, that all the stakeholders, I guess you'd call them, have been able to adjust accordingly. And it's not been a massive problem. And did not go deep into the idea of the high schools again, because despite the fact that they made that change, the demographics are not changing. I still think that this is going to be an issue in this community in the future. And whether or not they go back and have that discussion again sooner rather than later is something that's up in the air. I don't think it's going to happen too soon, but I just think that at some point that question is going to come up again. And I think you hit it on the head that you look at enrollments around the state of Wisconsin, and these questions are going to continue to occur. And also, again, the ultimate bogeyman there is the lack of proper funding that mm-hmm. makes a lot of these decisions right. even more important, because frankly, you just don't have the money to keep some of these schools open.
And then, of course, there's the big story you've been following there with Mayor Doug Dinney, taking that Dropbox, and this from Eric Fance in the Wausau Daily Herald.
Eric. So.
Okay, thank you.
I said it that way.
They have found that Mayor Doug Dinney violated the ethics code by moving the Dropbox, and they ordered the mayor to conform his actions to the city's code of ethics. They did not make a recommendation to the common council to censure, suspend, or remove the mayor from office, nor issue fines to the mayor. A State Department of Justice investigation into the matter remains open. So one more step in the process.
That's exactly right. And I think that, there are probably some folks who are saying, well, why don't we have a penalty at this point? But my opinion on this, and again, it's just my opinion, is it was vitally important to get to this decision. And I do think that the ethics board here in Wausau deserves a lot of credit. There was a lot of pressure. The mayor has pushed against this from the very beginning. He's been, fighting back against it, allies of the mayor as well. It has not been an easy situation for these folks on the ethics committee. I think this has been the most pressure they've been under in this position for a very, very long time. So I tip my cap to these citizens who served on this board and made the decision. And the bottom line is the mayor was told you are not able to do that, because if somehow it just gone away, it would not have been a decision made. They would have stopped the investigation. Then what happens the next time? So this comes out. The mayor basically said that he's glad that this is over, that now the city can go back to work. But the mayor, the relationship right now between the mayor and the council just is not good. I mean, he's threatening to veto the budget now. This week it came out. So, I'm going to be very interested to see if now that this part of the story is over, we still have the State Department of Justice investigation that is out there. But there's more to the whole relationship and everything that's going on than just this Dropbox situation here at City Hall.
Yeah, I'm not exactly holding my breath for Eric Toney, the special prosecutor, to do anything other than, if even a slap on the wrist for the mayor. Now, is because the ethics committee has now said what they said. I mean, theoretically, could a common council member then put forward a resolution of censure or something like that, or is this truly all done?
No, I think that the council does have that option to to decide penalty. We'll see what happens here. I think it's, again, something that's up in the air right now. This just came down last night, so we'll have to wait and see if any of the council members come out and say along those lines that maybe they'll look in that direction in the future.
I mean, it would go a long way if the mayor showed even the slightest sliver, of not remorse, but, just acknowledge that he did not, what he did, he shouldn't have done. And there hasn't been any of that from the mayor, as far as I can tell. So I think this by and large puts the matter to bed, but
frankly, I'm a little surprised that what he did say last night was that, I'm glad it was actually
He wasn't defiant.
At least he didn't come up. Yes. Yeah. I think that was actually somewhat of a positive.
Gotcha. You can check out Chad's morning updates on 98.9 WXCO, also on the app, or past episodes at WXCO.fm. Have a great time at the open house. Chad, thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Sean O'Malley talking about your money and the markets, and Joseph Pecky all on the way. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/music. That's ethos.com/music.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
We want to thank our listeners for following the Rapid Support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the Rapid Support at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support for this Wednesday, October 15th, 2025. The show is proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. Thanks for being here. Your host, James, behind the mic. And we are joined right now by our great friend, Sarah Hagnow, Wisconsin 78th Alice in Dairyland. Sarah, how you doing?
I am doing so well today, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on. It's truly a pleasure to be on the Rapids Report today.
We really, we've been just fortunate enough to talk to so many of the Alices over the years. We've really enjoyed it. And we've really been enjoying getting to know you a little bit more, Sarah. How have you been enjoying the crown? How have you been, enjoying this time?
You know, it has been an absolute blast. And I would love to say, I will say that my cup is very full being able to serve as Wisconsin's 78th Alice in Dairyland. It's really a personal dream come true for me. And just being able to visit all of the diverse communities across Wisconsin and understand their stories that make Wisconsin agriculture so special has been the experience of a lifetime so far. And I'm only 3 months in, so I'm so excited for what is in store the rest of my time as Alice in Dairyland.
It's really good to hear. And, you know, you mentioned one of my favorite parts about this, too, in these stories and how many great stories there are, especially in when involving people involved in our ag industry. But it's really unique and very, very cool. And I'm happy to hear that for you. It's really good.
Thank you.
You're mentioning in our pregame a little bit that you're currently about and about some school visits.
Certainly. I am making my way across Wisconsin doing what's called Expedition Agriculture, which is a program that has been made possible through the Wisconsin Ag in the Classroom program, as well as the Alice in Dairyland program. Through this, I'm able to help fourth grade students and other young students learn about Wisconsin's specialty crops, and especially what makes Wisconsin such a great agricultural powerhouse in our nation. Through natural resources, some of the climate that we have, as well as the great people, the great agriculturists that make agriculture possible. I'm so excited to share that message with them and help them understand that we grow a lot of really interesting things here in Wisconsin, as well as raise a lot of really great animals for our food supply.
You know, you mentioned this agricultural tourism campaign that you're currently on. Let's talk a little bit about that, Sarah. And what is agricultural tourism? Why is it important to this state?
This campaign has been such a fun campaign to share with others and help them see how they can find their own ag venture across Wisconsin with agricultural tourism. For those that may not be familiar, agricultural tourism is any agricultural-based activity that brings visitors to a farm, a ranch, maybe a grove or an orchard, or even a farmer's market, and really encourages that connection, or perhaps for some, a reconnection to agriculture. So with that, a lot of people are probably doing agricultural tourism and they don't even realize it. But it is really growing in popularity as travelers are seeking those authentic rural experiences that we have across Wisconsin, including on-farm stays, educational tours, unique cooking and dining experiences, which are my personal favorite, and so much more beyond that. Agriculture itself is the baseline of this and is an important economic driver in our state as it contributes $116.3 billion to our economy annually. And that all is made possible by our over 58,500 farms in the state that are caring for all of our crops and our animals and our land. Today, many community members might be several generations removed from the farm, specifically three or four. So this is really a great invitation to engage with agriculture in a hands-on manner and reconnect with where our food comes from.
You know, one of the things that I think is kind of unique, and I don't know how many other people have seen this, but we've heard for a while now, my generation, yours, all around, when people are doing things, what are they looking for? They're looking for an experience. They want to make a memory. They mm-hmm. want to, you know, have something like that. And they want to, in order to do that, they usually want to get their hands in the dirt. They want to put their hands involved yeah. in something. And we're seeing a lot of our ag industry getting a lot more tourism, getting a lot more of people that we normally wouldn't because of this, because ag, it gives you that experience. Whatever we're talking about, from a hayride to being on a cranberry marsh, you're making a moment, you're making a memory at these places.
Certainly. I could not have said it any better myself. And so many farms are so wanting to give you that experience and open up their doors to not only show you how food production works, but to share their stories and get to know you on a more personal level. And like you said, whether it's in the fall season with some of those hayrides, visiting pumpkin patches, apple orchards, and lots of other things, or stepping into that cranberry marsh during the harvest season and really getting experience, maybe putting on the waders and even wading into that bed. It's a really great memory that you can make with all ages, with a family, with your friends, and create such an unforgettable memory on a Wisconsin farm while learning a lot and having so much fun.
I haven't gotten to a pumpkin patch yet this year. I got to do that. Oh, thank you for the reminder. I got to get on. What are some of the educational and recreational opportunities in agricultural tourism that you can tell us about, Sarah?
A lot of those are those that we mentioned already, right? Those corn mazes, those apple orchards, those pumpkin patches, especially in the fall season. One thing that I've really been enjoying are pizza farms that you can find across the state, which really tap into that unique cooking and dining experience. On these farms, maybe some owners have erected a pizza oven or are creating pizzas right in their home kitchen. They've raised local ingredients either right on the farm or from other farmers and are using that to make a really delicious meal for you to enjoy against a beautiful backdrop of a rural landscape. You really can't beat it. There are also farm stays and farm camps that provide that immersive experience that you yourself talked about. Get your hands dirty. Get some hands-on experience with agriculture. Understand what life is like on a real working farm and maybe be able to even help that farmer with some of those daily activities, whether it's for a night or maybe an entire week. This is a great way to meet the farming family, maybe experience agriculture for yourself and create those unforgettable memories.
I think people would be surprised how much they connect and that they find a relatability with the ag industry, with some of our farmers.
Yeah.
It was something that was brought to light to me, you know, coming from the city and everything and moving out here. And my grandparents taking me to a farm and being there at like 5 a.m. and realizing, oh, I remember in the city, a lot of the people that worked there started their day at 5 a.m. too. And just some of the parallels, some of the connections. It's fun, it's interesting, but I also think that it creates an empathy that is important for people that aren't involved in the ag industry and understanding how important that industry is to our everyday life. It creates...
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and a bipartisan bill to help women who need extra screenings is advancing in the legislature. Savannah Tolme Olson reports.
Decades of public health announcements have worked. Most women know they should be getting a yearly mammogram after turning 40. But up to 40% of women have dense breast tissue, which means a mammogram is unlikely to detect problems. They could get a totally clean bill of health after a mammogram when there's actually something wrong. Right now in Wisconsin, most insurance companies will cover some of the cost for extra screenings like MRIs and ultrasounds. But that means patients are often paying for at least a portion out of pocket, and they can be expensive. Dr. Jennifer Bergen is a breast imaging radiologist.
Just last month, I saw a young woman. She had noticed a pea-sized lump 7 months ago. Her doctor recommended and ordered the imaging tests, and the patient did her homework. She knew she was going to have out-of-pocket costs, and so she decided, because she really couldn't afford those tests at that time, to just wait and see what would happen. When I saw her 7 months later, the lump had grown to the size of a golf ball. And it had spread not just as cancer in her breast, but to her lymph nodes.
Gail's law would require insurance companies cover those extra screenings for women with dense breast tissue. The bill is named for Gail Zeemer, who died of breast cancer after mammograms missed it more than once. The bill passed almost unanimously in the Senate this week. Republican Cindy Duco says it took some negotiation.
And we can thank Senator Rickall-Cavera for that, because she worked really super hard to get mostly all those men on board, to be honest with you.
The bill has also been heard by an assembly committee, and the bipartisan group of women lawmakers behind it say they're looking forward to seeing it on the assembly floor. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The future Mr. Taylor Swift, a.k.a. Travis Kelce, is already feeling the pressure to have kids with his bride-to-be. During a recent appearance on the New Heights podcast, Dwayne Johnson and Jason Kelce, Travis's older brother, encouraged him to become a dad, saying, "Your life changes in a great way." At one point, Johnson joked that he and Jason were putting the voodoo hex on Travis. Kelce popped the question to Swift in August. How great would it be if their kids had Travis's singing voice and Taylor's gridiron talents? More Ed Helms? Yes, please. Deadline.com reports that the Office actor has signed on to the new film, The Stunt Driver. The story follows Ken Carter, played by Jay Baruchel. Carter was a stuntman who tried to jump over the St. Lawrence River in a rocket-powered vehicle, which at the time was considered the most dangerous stunt ever. Helms plays Dick Keller, an engineer who designs the rocket vehicle. I'm intrigued. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies today with a few showers around, mainly later in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 60s. Scattered showers tonight, perhaps a rumble of thunder as well. Lows in the lower 50s. On Friday, partly sunny and warm for mid-October. Highs in the low to mid 70s. Right now, it's 51.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires.
When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers. The consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on!
And save! Badgers win the shootout!
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn! Badgers finish Michigan!
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee actress and filmmaker Cara Mulrooney makes the popcorn pick of the week. Then Dan Hess of Old World Wisconsin joins me to discuss a big upcoming event. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
So here now is Joe Zepecki to talk to us about things that have been happening in politics this week. But first, we turn to Joe Zepecki, sports therapist. Joe, good morning. How you doing? I know we got little Brewers baseball this afternoon. They're in Los Angeles now. I think nine other teams, I think, have come back in 7-game series from being down 0-2 at home to come back and win this thing. It's 16% of the time it has happened. How are you feeling about this? Can we count on like Bucks and six? Can we do Brewers and six?
I really like Brewers and six. Mm-hmm. I also am a believer that history does not repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And while I was only 6 months old, you are surely old enough to remember that the only time the Brewers have made the World Series, they were down 0-2 in the 1982 ALCS.
Mm-hmm.
So I think history can rhyme, and it all starts this afternoon.
I didn't think that you were that much younger than me, and thank you for not lumping me in with the 1958 Milwaukee Braves that gave up a 3-1 lead to the Yankees, I believe it was. So, yes, better times ahead. And they start this afternoon. And then when that's done, we turn toward the weekend. Let's start with the No Kings protests, because I've got to get your thoughts on the things that are being said, the pre-buttal, if you will. And I guess while Sean Duffy's comments about this being all about Antifa and everything, I could comment on them, but it would be insulting to a box of rocks that I might liken it to. Why don't we have your kinder and gentler spin on how they're pre-spinning millions of Americans in the streets this weekend?
Yeah, so Secretary Duffy stopped at describing anyone who chooses to patriotically and peacefully go and protest on No Kings Day, part two, the sequel, as members of Antifa and paid protesters. And that's just stupid and makes no sense. It is Republican members of Congress who have gone even further than Mr. Duffy, who I am saving my real ire for. Mike Johnson, Tom Emmer, Steve Scalise have decided that if you go to this protest, they get to call you a terrorist. That if you object to the idea of a king and a monarchy in this country, that makes you a radical and means you hate America. And I would just remind those gentlemen that this country was founded on protest and that we have not had a king since 1776, nor should we. And the idea that these gentlemen who hold positions of trust and authority in the United States government would use words like terrorist to describe peaceful protesters before the fact, we can't gloss over this.
No.
Because you know what this country does to terrorists? We kill them. Go ask Osama bin Laden. Oh, wait, you can't, because SEAL Team 6 took him out.
Right.
And so for every, you know, appeal by Republicans to watch our language and for the civility police in the wake of horrific acts of political violence, I don't even know what to do with this. When Republican leaders in Congress think it is okay to tell grandparents, senior citizens, people who work for a living, who are going to take their dogs and patriotic signs out to a peaceful protest this weekend, that they are somehow pro-Hamas or that they are terrorists who hate America, is beyond the pale. And I just think we need to remind people of that. So as dumb as what Sean Duffy said is, at least he didn't go further like some of the gentlemen he used to serve in Congress with did.
Yeah. I mean, and again, let's get back to the root word. Antifa means anti-fascist.
Yes.
What's the problem there? That was kind of the main goal on D-Day.
Yeah.
So let's be careful how we're making comparisons here. But again, there's so much messaging. They're trying just to, rather than serve, rather than govern, they're trying to message. And so we'll come back to some of the more serious aspects of the messaging. But I do have to take a moment to thank the folks at the Madison Airport and a whole bunch of other airports that have seen the partisan propaganda put out by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem and said, no, we're not showing that video in our airports at the TSA, where she's specifically blaming Democrats for the shutdown of government. Again, there've got to be some standards. There got to be some guardrails left. And using Big Brother approaches to a captive audience in the airport, that's got to be one of them. It's got to be held at bay.
Yeah, I mean, they're lowering the bar so low you can't even see it. It is a Hatch Act violation, full stop. That used to be something that United States governments cared about. I mean, the number of things that I had to get pre-cleared by the Office of Legal Counsel when I was a Obama appointee to ensure I was steering clear of the Hatch Act would shock you. And here they're just like, yeah, we don't care. We don't care about that anymore. We only care about enforcing the laws that we care about. And it makes a mockery of the system. It cheapens the discourse even further. And it's yet another example that they want rules to apply to other people that don't apply to them.
Yeah. And again, my own personal view, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but when all of this is done, whatever this is, I do not want to hear people go, oh, we should just turn the page. No, there's a lot of grift and corruption that are going to have to be prosecuted when the time is right. And I don't want to hear any of this bunk about, oh, you know, let's turn the page and move on. No, thank you very much. Because there's already so much harm being done by this shutdown. Never mind the propaganda, never mind the lies, but the actual harm that's being done. And as you know, we had Leslie Dock on from Protect Our Care yesterday on the program to remind us to keep the focus not on the party spats, if you will, but on the real impact on Americans through their health care, through their checkbook.
Which Marjorie Taylor Greene has been in the right place on for the last week. I've never found myself agreeing more with conservative MAGA firebrand Marjorie Taylor Greene, who continues to accurately point out that her party has dropped the ball on healthcare. And if they don't do anything, people like her three kids, who are in their 20s, are not going to be able to afford health insurance. More than 20 million Americans are going to see their costs skyrocket because Republicans would rather play politics than do something to lower the cost of healthcare for American consumers. I had to sort of, I mean, it's like enough to make you do a spit take every 5 minutes, but the Trump administration this week is set on bailing out Argentina, who is now selling soybeans to China, even though our farmers can't, but we're going to give them $20 billion on top of it. And Hawaii Senator Brian Schatz, who's a Democrat, pointed out, you know, for $20 billion, we could fund the healthcare tax credits as part of the Affordable Care Act for a year. So this is what the Trump administration is choosing to do. Rather than choose to lower your costs, listener, or those of your friends and your neighbors and your community members, they are choosing to bail out Argentina and make you pay more for healthcare. That is their current position. I certainly hope it changes. But we can drop the pretense of America First or anything they said in the campaign about lowering costs for you, because they don't care. They're prepared to let your healthcare costs triple so they can bail out his buddy in Argentina and send $20 billion of your tax money there.
And by the way, they are literally doubling down in saying that the Trump administration is going to push for an additional $20 billion in private investments to go to Argentina. Of all the things they could try to encourage investors to do in the United States, they choose instead to do for a place that, like you said, is now a market for China and leaving our farmers high and dry. Again, it's just so crazy puzzling. But to bring it back to healthcare here, and again, Leslie Dock mentioned this yesterday as well, along with the Affordable Care Act enhanced tax credits, and along with the $1 trillion of cuts to Medicaid, you also have real harm to Medicare. And that does not get talked about nearly enough. But I know the folks at Protect Our Care have been making sure this week that, you know, we don't lose sight of that development as well.
Yeah. At last count, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office confirming that Trump administration policies will mean $536 billion in cuts to Medicaid over the next 10 years. And guess what, seniors? Even if you're on Medicare, the premiums that you do pay and out-of-pocket costs, they're all going up. So every opportunity, they never miss an opportunity to make you pay more for healthcare, right? And it's not, like, I've gotten to the point where what we need to do is not listen to what Trump says and what Republicans say, because it's nonsensical most of the time anyways, but look at what they're doing. And when the bean counters at CBO say it's more than $500 billion in cuts, and when they say that Medicare premiums and out-of-pocket costs are going to go up, that's a thing they're doing, that the Trump administration is choosing to do to you while they redecorate the White House and raise hundreds of millions of dollars to expand the size of the ballroom. Does that sound like America First? Does that sound like somebody who is waking up every morning thinking about how to make your life better, how to make your life more affordable? No way. It's absurd. So stop listening to what they say. Start looking at what they do. This is a thing they're doing on healthcare.
And sometimes you may not know what they're doing or what they're saying until after the fact. But when it does, you should pay attention. And what I'm doing is I'm leading into the story from Politico about all kinds of young Republican leaders around the country and how some of their text message exchanges have been released or leaked. And it's not pretty. The rank no. sexism, racism that's in these things, I mean, it is just dripping. And I'm not saying that Charlie Kirk would have approved of every one of them, but I'm telling you, every one of those young Republican leaders would tell you they were inspired by Charlie Kirk.
Or Donald Trump or yep. J.D. Vance.
Yep.
You know, and that's like, leadership matters. And for the last 10 years, Donald Trump has been, you know, for reasons passing understanding, the golden king of the Republican Party and of conservatives, which, you know, we used to understand that conservatives thought that character counted,
yeah.
right? That men of morals and high character should be in positions of leadership. That's out the window. And this is the cost, because the kids are always watching, whether it is unacceptable political violence, whether it is vile political rhetoric, whether it is then candidate Trump making fun of people with disabilities, whether it is reporting yesterday that showed that the Trump administration is going to redo the asylum process and the immigration system to only allow English speakers, South Africans who are white, and Europeans who are opposed to their own country's migration policies. Like, that's just racist, period. I don't like it. It walks like a racist. It talks like a racist. It governs like a racist. At some point, you stop calling it a duck and you just understand it's racism. And that is what has been atop the Republican Party for a decade now. And I didn't make that choice. You didn't make that choice. Many of your listeners didn't make that choice. But it's the reality of where we are. And now we got to figure out how to win some power in 2026 to put a check on it.
All right, Joe Zepecki, when we're back next week, I hope we're talking about an upcoming Game 6, and one game of the new Milwaukee Bucks season will be in the books as well. We'll talk to you then.
See you.
Back with more after this. You're Up North.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As the year winds down, it's time for a financial tune-up. Here are some steps to consider. If you're 73 or older, you'll need to take required minimum distributions from traditional retirement accounts to avoid a 25% penalty on any amount you should have withdrawn but didn't. And if you're still working, consider ramping up your pre-tax retirement contributions. Not only will this help your future self, but it might reduce your current tax bill. Now is a good time to review your investments. Did they perform as expected? Do they still match your goals? You may need to rebalance. One more thing. If you've had major life changes like marriage, divorce, or a new baby, review the beneficiary designations on all bank and brokerage accounts. These often override what's written in your will. Taking care of these and other financial tasks now can help you start the new year on solid ground.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Hey, Mom, can I go out with my friends?
You're getting sick again? You need to stay home and rest.
Okay.
I know I can't get sick again.
No!
Oh, what? Oh, it was only a dream. I'm heading to Family Natural Foods first thing in the morning.
Family Natural Foods is there for your family with elderberry immune support from Terry Naturally. Protect yourself and don't miss another day with help from Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
All right, here to take us home on this Thursday morning, 8:52 right now, is Todd Alba. You can catch his show, conveniently named The Todd Alba Show, on weekday afternoons from 2 until 4 across the Civic Media Radio Network, where we find Mr. Alba somewhere in the greater Waukesha Metroplex for what was, I hope, a very successful world premiere of a little movie yesterday.
Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Parker. Nice to see you both. My voice is kind of going here, but yeah, it was a really cool event. The movie is called No Packers, No Life, and of the world premiere from the same producers of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. World premiere here last night at the beautiful Majestic Marcus Theater in Waukesha. A good time was had by all, a full theater. And boy, Pat, I can tell you, if you enjoy just a bit outside, I think people will also enjoy this film. The synopsis is an American guy from Wisconsin ends up on a business trip in Japan and sees a guy walking towards him with an Aaron Rodgers shirt on, or jersey. And so the American guy, Ty, he's like, "Go, Pat, go." And then the Japanese guy is like, "Go, Pat, go." And they start screaming at each other. Turns out the Japanese guy is on his way to the Japanese Packer cheer team, which are a group of Japanese Packer fans that watch these games live, Packer games, like at 2 or 5 in the morning on Monday mornings, and then get together through the offseason and watch old games. And it's the story of bringing about 30 of these Japanese fans to the Mecca of Lambeau Field, and it's looking at the Packers in Wisconsin through the lens of other folks. And Pat, as a world traveler, you've experienced this, I know, as well.
Yes.
You appreciate things about where you're from when you see it through the lens of somebody else.
It's wonderful. I've been to places all over, and have looked up the Packer Bar in Scottsdale, Arizona, or Manhattan in the heart of New York City, and Sydney, Australia, where I found a bunch of Packer fans who gather at a particular bar. And there's nothing quite like it, but I love that this movie takes it a step further and says, these guys are great. Why don't we fly them to Green Bay and give them the full experience? And here's the thing. Unlike the Karen that we talked about at the start of the show from game 2 of the NLCS, who made a joke, quote unquote, about calling ice on this Dodger fan, these folks behaved themselves. Nobody was a jerk to each other. It was the best part of sports fandom that you can actually welcome your visitors and give them the full Wisconsin experience. That's what happens 99 times out of 100. Thank God.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I mean, you're right. And the cool thing was they brought these Japanese fans to Green Bay. They weren't staying at the fancy hotels. They stayed with this guy's family and friends in their homes. And so they were doing ski shots before before the game. And there's a line in the film, and I don't think it's ruining it for anybody, but one of the Japanese people ends up, they're driving by Lambeau at night on the night they get in, and he looks out the window and he says, "I want to live here." And it's like, we do live here. And yeah. I think too often we take for granted the magical, the mystique, not just of our sports teams, but in the larger sense, the community that those sports teams reflect and help build, that we do. You know, you're going through a tailgate and somebody says, "Here, have a beer. We got an extra brat." And that's an indication of the Wisconsin spirit, Pat. I know you've seen that as well.
Oh, absolutely. When I went to a Packer game last year at Lambeau, and now I forget who we were playing, but there were some people in the other team's jerseys. And people were saying hi to them. They're saying, "Welcome to Green Bay." Walking past somebody's tailgate, somebody yelled out to them, "Hey, you guys want a brat?" And they, it was getting close to game time, so they said, "No, thank you." But they were kind of looking at each other like, we're being treated very nicely here. And you would not get that in most other cities. So tell people the name of the film again, because it's going to be playing in several theaters, primarily in the southeastern half of the state, but there's exceptions like Rothschild as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to two websites, nopackersnolife.com.
N-O, by the way, not K-N-O.
Thank you. That's right, No Packers, No Life. And then also the MarcusTheater.com site. It's going to be here in southeast Wisconsin, Green Bay, Madison, La Crosse, Trolling Bears fans in Gurnee, Illinois. And much like Just a Bit Outside, they hope that if people go to theaters and see this now, it will reach places like Eau Claire, Wausau, and other places as well throughout the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, and we've seen that with other films. So, yes, get out there and patronize it. Go see the movie. Get the full theater experience. Is the rumor correct that you will be leaving the Waukesha area there shortly to head up to Wausau? Just a little spelling variation there to take part in the 98.9 WXCO open house.
In the words of Peter, Paul, and Mary, my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. So it's going to be from Waukesha to Wausau today.
Wow.
We're honored to be part of the open house up there for WXCO in Wausau. The great Chad Holmes, of course, one of the hardest working people in civic media. We're going to be having him on. Also, Dan Schaefer helps us recombobulate and much, much more. So we may launch an investigation into Pat's VCR scandal, which I was listening to earlier. I was not aware, but I was highly entertained.
I was just so young and dumb and, you know, yeah, ended up winning a VCR from my own station's contest. But like I said, I'd been employed there like 3 days. Nobody knew me. I didn't know you weren't supposed to do that stuff. Wasn't it fun to be young and innocent in hindsight?
100%. I longed for those days. But, you know, there's a little bit of something to be said for gaining the wisdom of experience.
Right? I also know how low the pay was at the time and had absolutely no sense of guilt about getting a free VCR because I wouldn't have been able to afford one for a long time back then. So Todd Albus hitting the road. Safe travels. We'll hear you from Wausau from 2 to 4. Dan Schaefer at 2:35 as part of the celebrations. Drive safe. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Patrick. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care now. And thanks to all of you for joining us. And of course, tomorrow being Friday, we'll have our usual week in review gang here with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and Mike Clemens giving us sports. I'm Pat Kreitler from Up North News from Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. Have a great Thursday. See you back here up north bright and early, 6 a.m.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
That's at the CDC. Well, the Trump administration used the government shutdown to lay off more than 4,000 federal workers before the courts stepped in. Budget Chief Russell Vogt says there are plans to go much further.
I think we'll probably end up being north of 10,000.
A spokesperson for the Department of Health and Human Services said the layoffs were part of cutting a bloated bureaucracy and that the positions were deemed non-essential by their divisions. But the scientists we spoke to said the cuts of the CDC will impact responses to disease outbreaks.
Has 200 troops there to help with this.
Greece is ready to keep people at their desks for a long time. CBS's Vicky Barker at the foreign desk.
The Greek parliament has just voted to allow some employers to demand 13-hour working days.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.